Just a wonderful presence of God this morning, and I don't want us to kind of race on to the next thing. We're singing about His kingdom. We've also been singing about praise God from whom all blessings flow. And the music team did a great job this morning. Thank you, guys. You certainly didn't know what I was going to be preaching on this morning, but I actually am preaching on something that is coming through, I think, this morning, and what God is wanting to speak into our lives. And that's the blessings from God. So the title of my message is The Blessings from God. Late last year, I shared a message on the goodness of God, which is one of His amazing attributes, and I felt to expand on that message. So who's ready to be blessed? Yeah. Hopefully I can bless you guys. We are a blessed people. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, can you please turn to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 22? Actually, for those who don't know me, I just want to do a little introduction because I know there's a lot of new faces and new people here. My name's Clint. I got saved 20 and a half years ago, and I actually got saved and joined this church. So I've been part of it ever since. Praise God for that. And I actually just want to honour Tom and Sandra this morning who are here. They planted this church 22 years ago. And would you mind standing, Tom and Sandra? I don't do that lightly. I don't do that to embarrass him, but I just want to honour. Yeah. You know, I think, God's kingdom is about honour. And we see that in the unity of the Godhead, as Russ so eloquently painted the picture of last week, is that everything comes from God, you know. We are here to steward. You have been faithful stewards, so thank you so much for being obedient. Being obedient to the call of God on your lives. And I know God has moved you on from here, but I know God is still working through you guys. So, yeah, go well. So if you are there in your Bibles, Genesis chapter 1, verse 22, the first use of the word blessed in the Bible is in the very first chapter. After God had created all living creatures in Genesis chapter 1, verse 22, says, God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas and let the birds increase on earth. And then we see the same Hebrew word used again immediately after God created man in verse 27. It says, so God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. So firstly, let's define what the word bless means. And I loved your t-shirt this morning. It said, I'm blessed. That was perfect. It's like, that is the title of my message. The blessings from God. So you're in the spirit this morning, Mapha. So the Hebrew word Barak. So if you can remember this, just think of Barack Obama as a way of remembering that word bless. It means to bless, to kneel down. By implication, to bless God as an act of adoration. And vice versa for man as a benefit. So, and I think we've been doing that this morning. We've actually been blessing God. And I know God will be blessed by our worship this morning. So it's wonderful to know that He has blessed us. We're blessing Him back for the blessings that He's poured out on us. And it just keeps going around in this circle. Very interesting to see that this word can both be used in the context of God blessing man, but also in the context of blessing God by someone kneeling as an act of adoration or worship. There's 330 references or uses of this word, barak, throughout the Bible. And I was very interested that this word also means to kneel, and was curious to check out where the word was actually used. And it was in Psalm 95 and verse 6. And it says, "O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us barak, kneel before the Lord, our Maker." And another time it's used was in 2 Chronicles, chapter 6 and verse 13, when Solomon had made a scaffold and placed it in the center of the court, and he stood and kneeled down. And so that word kneeled is the same word that's used, upon his knees before all the congregation of Israel, and he spread forth his hands toward heaven and began to pray to God. And it's this amazing act of worship. So we see the word bless is used for kneeling and as an act of worship, but also when God blesses man. And we see that from the very beginning in Genesis chapter 1, that God is wanting to bless his creation, which includes us, mankind. Amen? He created man, as we read, in his image. Male and female. No other genders. No apologies for that. And God is wanting to favor us. He is for us, not against us. Amen. So today I want to look at the various forms or ways in which we are blessed. There are kind of two main categories. So I'm just going to give broad strokes. So I love, for those who know me, people know that I'm a details guy. but I'm going to paint some broad strokes this morning on this topic. So there are, number one, temporal blessings. And number two, spiritual blessings. So some examples that we see of God's temporal, material blessings in the Bible are, well, firstly, we see God's promise to bless Abraham. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, it says, "I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Exodus chapter 23 and verse 25 says, "Worship the Lord your God, and his blessing will be on your food and water. I will take away sickness from among you." It's an amazing promise, eh? Psalm 81 and verse 16, "But you would be fed with the finest of wheat, with honey from the rock, I would satisfy you." And Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 23 says, "He will also send you rain for the seed you sow in the ground, and the food that comes from the land will be rich and plentiful." And all the blokes said amen, eh? for the meat. It actually goes on and says, "In that day your cattle will graze in broad meadows." Broady. We have a broad meadows right here in Melbourne. Anyone had the pleasure of being out that way? but seriously, this is a wonderful scripture which speaks of God's natural and temporal provision of rich and plentiful food. Malachi 3:10 says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will be not be room enough to store it." Tithing isn't something I want to dive into today, but this is an amazing promise from God that when we do tithe and we're faithful with that, and for those who don't know what tithing means we give a tenth of all of our earnings back to God through the local church. And when we are faithful in that, God declares that he will pour out his blessings. Amen? I know it's a faith step. I mean, if you're struggling in your finances, I just want to encourage you, be faithful in your tithing. God honors it. It's because he's asked us to do it so that there's not only food for the pastors, so that they can, you know, for the workers, but it's God's promise. It's basically God going, look, hey, just trust me in this. I'll show you. I'll show you how much I'll pour out a blessing. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, and we know this one, and it's preached about regularly, but it says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And now this is in the context of not worrying about your life, what we will eat and drink and what we will wear. God knows what we need, and we encourage to put his kingdom first in our lives. And when we do all of these temporal things like food and water, shelter, the basic needs that we as humans have will all be taken care of by God. He is a good father. Amen. The Almighty One, the one who is greater, the one who created everything in heaven and on earth, the King of the everlasting kingdom, encourages us to seek after him and his kingdom and his righteousness with a beautiful promise to bless us, the one who is lesser. In one sense, scriptures declare a general blessing on all mankind, as Genesis so wonderfully puts it. And furthermore, for those who worship him and seek his kingdom and his righteousness, it's not just his kingdom, but his kingdom is a righteous kingdom, but it's his righteousness. Those who are obedient to God's commands will be blessed with affluence and victory. Probably one of the greatest passages demonstrating this is in the book of Deuteronomy, where it speaks about the blessings for obedience. So let's read this passage. So if you could please turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1. If you could bring it up, Geordie, if you've got it. Now, this is God speaking to Israel, and it's in the context of the previous generation of Israel dying in the wilderness, and now this new generation has come through. And before they cross the Jordan to enter the promised land, there's this amazing dialogue between God and Israel with the main theme of a call to obedience. So Deuteronomy, from verse 1, it says, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks, your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he is giving you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you on oath. If you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in obedience. Now listen to this. If you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in obedience to him, verse 10, then all the peoples of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground. In the land he swore to your ancestors to give you, the Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top, never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them. It's a wonderful passage, eh? You know, it's this amazing dialogue that's going on between God and Israel and the people. You know, he's not wanting them to forget. He's not wanting them to make the same mistakes of the previous generation. Some serious promises in return for walking in obedience. It's very, very important for us to recognize. I mean, if we keep going on further and from verse 15, it gets a bit heavy after that. From verse 15 through to 68, it's actually God's warning them of what's reserved for those who are disobedient. So we've got this long first 14 verses of just amazing promises of God, of walking in obedience, but almost double the amount of verses after that of a warning. And it's why does God do that? Well, maybe he's trying to get their attention. So we don't have time to read it all, but I'd recommend you go read those verses. He's providing a clear warning. He's saying to Israel, come on now, walk with me, don't play with fire. You are going to get burned and be tormented. It's pretty heavy language. And why does he point this out to them? Because Israel are his chosen people whom he loves. And he wants them to be blessed, not cursed. Yeah? And we are. This is God's warning to us, you know, and his promises to us that if we are obedient to him, he will pour out an abundant, abundant prosperity. To be blessed is to be granted special favor by God with resulting joy and prosperity. In the New Testament, however, we see more of an emphasis on spiritual blessings rather than on the temporal or material blessings. So let's have a look at what the spiritual blessings of God are as we identified at the beginning. God's pledge is that all peoples on earth shall be blessed in Genesis 12 and verse 3. It is also then fulfilled in the person and work of Jesus Christ. How so? Well, we'll have a look. So please turn in your Bibles, if you've got them, to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8. And if you could bring that up, Geordie. Verse 8, to Galatians 3 and verse 8 says, Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, as it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly no one relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says, the person who does these things will live by them. And Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. Amazing, hey? Well, so what does that mean? It means that we, you and I as Gentiles, can receive redemption through faith in Christ Jesus. And not only that, but the promise of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus has borne the consequences of the curse for believers and bless them with the forgiveness of sins. Amen for that, hey? We've been singing about that this morning. You can also check out Romans chapter 4 and verse 6 to 9 and Psalm 32 and verse 1 to 2. So believers are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Ephesians 1 and verse 3 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And now we as believers inherit the blessings promised to Abraham. Amen? Yes. If we could just turn to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. Just want to read a portion of scripture here. Hebrews 6 and verse 12 says, "We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, 'I will surely bless you and give you many descendants.' And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. People swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument, because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised. He confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner, Jesus, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." So Jesus has gone before us. And as a result, we now inherit the spiritual blessings of salvation and eternity. We've been singing about it this morning. Thank you, Jesus, eh? Amen. He suffered for doing good, not for doing the wrong thing. 1 Peter in chapter 3 and verse 8 to 9 says, "Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing." Barak. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Interesting, eh? So Jesus suffered for doing good, but then he encourages us not to repay evil with evil. Yeah? So otherwise we'd be like the pagans, you know? It's a very challenging scripture. I don't know, when you read that in that 1 Peter in chapter 3, it's, do we as Christians ever repay evil with evil? Insult with insult towards our friends, our family, our colleagues, our clients, our customers. Something I'm constantly reminded of in the business that I run. If a client insults me, should I insult them back? Scripture is very clear. It says to repay evil with blessing. It's a challenge for us. So then further down on verse 17, in that same chapter, it says, "For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit." Amen. So as a result of receiving God's blessings in Christ, we as believers are called to be a source of blessing to the world, especially in response to those who persecute them. Did you hear that? Let me say that again. You are a blessing to the world, and you are blessed to be a blessing. You may not feel like you're a blessing to the world, but you are. Let me tell you, you are. You are a light of the world, the Bible tells us. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, it says, You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. And that word light in the Greek language actually means a heavenly light. I looked it up. The definition is a heavenly light that such as surrounds angels when they appear on earth. So you are an angel here on earth. You are bringing the light of God. You are bringing the kingdom. You're bringing the power of God here on earth. It's a fire, a lamp of truth and its knowledge, together with the spiritual purity associated with it. That which is exposed to the view of all, openly, publicly, and reason. I think perhaps we're the reason to the world. When all reason is lost, all hope is lost. There's hope, and we carry that as ambassadors for Christ. Wherever we go, we are the light into this dark world. We are called to be that light. That so needs Jesus. Some of the most recognized references to the blessing come from the teachings of Jesus in the New Testament. We read that in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3. If you can turn there, Geordie. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3. I just want to read this passage. It says, blessed. Maybe you can underline these in, if you've got your old school Bible in your lap and a pen. Old school. We've got too much technology these days. Nothing wrong with the old school. I've got the trusty right here, just in case this goes up in flames. God won't destroy this. all right, so Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3 says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God, of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Who? Jesus. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Do you notice how Jesus is pointing people to his kingdom, to heaven? He is trying to teach us that despite difficulties or momentary troubles here in this place that we call earth, he reminds us his kingdom is coming. And it's of great, and we have a great reward in heaven for those who follow him, for those who are peacemakers, for those who endure persecution. The Bible, God's word, proclaims the end of the curse and the eternal blessings for the people of God. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 3 says, no longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. Revelation 20 and verse 6, blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and will reign with him for 1,000 years. Revelation 22 verse 7 says, look, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy written in this scroll. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6 to 10 says, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That little part, verse 10, just blows my mind. You know, I'm not going to get into predestination and all these things, but God, in his wisdom, somehow figured out that, you know, Clint, you're going to do this and that. Figured out and planned works for us to do in advance, each and every one of you. It's amazing. You can spend weeks teaching on those five verses that I've just read out, but the point that I want to make is that we are seated with him in the heavenly realms. What does that mean? It means that we have access to the kingdom of heaven through Jesus. The King of heaven. We can release his kingdom here on earth. Amen?
Yes.
One more scripture and then we're landing. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 to 9. Says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished or poured on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. God loves you and I. You and I are adopted. Amen? So, temporal and spiritual blessings. God is a God who blesses us. Not just so that we can be blessed, but so that we can be a blessing to others. Very important. Don't forget who is the blessor. We are the blessee. He is the blessor. Let's pray. There's another scripture in Numbers, quite a famous one. Numbers chapter 6 and verse 24. And I just want to speak this over us this morning. And then we'll pray. Numbers 6:24. It says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Lord, we bless you because you blessed us. Lord, I just thank you for who you are. Thank you that you not only have given us abundant blessings in the natural, whether it be food and water, clothing, houses, and everything else, but that you have also given the amazing spiritual blessings that we've been adopted, the sonship, each and every one of us who puts our faith and trust in you, the spiritual blessings that we receive, the salvation, the forgiveness of sins, the eternal destiny that we have because you paid the price, the highest price on the cross. Lord, yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory forever. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord, eh?